You know, if you've been here for any amount of time, you understand the term C3HD to some level. I want to tell you this about a vision. We talk about the vision of this church a lot. Never be confused to think that the vision has made this church what it is, because that simply is not true. It's the giver of the vision that does that. And so God has done that. We talked about that a few weeks ago, that God is the one who works. And so tonight, my prayer is that as we talk about the mission and the vision that God has given this place, that every one of us would honestly evaluate where we are in our walk. It's the first Wednesday of 2010. Is that right? It's the first Wednesday of 2010. So I want to share this vision with you. Let me tell you this story right before we start. And you know how January is. If you've been here in January before, I'm going to speed preach. Okay, so you have to listen fast. But with this vision, it reminded me of this story. Me and my six-year-old daughter driving down the road a few days ago, and we're arguing. And this girl, she can argue for a six-year-old. And I don't even remember what we were arguing about. But finally, I just looked at her and said, "Molly, why are you arguing?" She goes, "I'm not arguing. I'm correcting." I remember just getting popped in the mouth by my dad when I didn't say anything. And I said, "What was that for?" He said, "I know what you were thinking." That's how that goes sometimes. C3HD, to connect people to Jesus. Connect people to Jesus. Connect people to the cross and resurrection. That's what this place has been about for 19 years, is connect people to Jesus. Why Jesus? I mean, here, the most controversial figure in all of history, this man named Jesus, that we claim was born some 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin. How does that happen? I mean, you've heard that before, right? I don't know how this happened. Okay, anyway, so with Mary, it's the real deal. She's born of a virgin. And here is this God child who comes. And at Christmas, we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, that he has come. You see, we believe there was a Savior, and he's the only hope for the world. Now, you've heard this here a lot. You know, we don't think religion is going to get you anywhere. And it doesn't matter how long the list of rules is that you have. It's not about that. It is about Jesus, period. It is him. And so this Jesus, he's the only hope for the world. He's the only hope for our sin to be forgiven. By the way, raise your hand if you have sinned. That's almost everybody. And we believe, the Bible tells us, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, we have sinned. If you're a guest tonight, or if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I say, "You're a sinner," I am not pointing a finger at you. We are all sinners. And that's why we are in need of a Savior, because Jesus is the only hope we have to connect other people to Jesus, to connect people to the community of faith, right? Here we are together, each of us, you know, and I encourage people all the time, have friends that believe in Jesus. And people say, "You don't think I should have friends that don't?" I didn't say that. One of my very best friends is not a Christian. All right. And so this is a topic that he and I, we went through a season where it was hard to talk about it. Now we're in a season where we can talk about it a lot. And I pray that God would use those conversations. But I'm going to tell you, I need some friendships in my life with some Christian men who are going to encourage me, who are going to challenge me. So here at Hillview, we don't want you just to come and sit in worship. You will get lost. All right. If you come and you think, "Wow, Hillview, man, that worship, it is so exciting." I promise you, there's a day coming when it's not going to be that exciting to you. And there's going to be, have to be something more that's there. And so the part of the vision is that we connect people to a community of faith where we can encourage each other. I remember one time a lady coming in and she had cried her eyes out. I'd just gotten to know her over the course of two or three months, something like that. And something happened in her life and she got arrested. And she came and she came. We sat in my office. We talked and we prayed. And you would have thought that she didn't think that ever happened to anybody else. I said, "Listen, you're at Hillview. What did I say? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And to have a community of faith where people can encourage you, where people will challenge you. I love this story Tony Campolo tells, that he was out during this revival and he had went by himself. It was about 3 a.m. and his hotel phone rang. And he answers the phone and he's like, "Hello, who is this?" And it was one of his best friends. He said, "Hey, Tony, sorry to call so late. I just wanted to ask if you're alone." He goes, "Well, you know my wife couldn't come. Of course I'm alone." He goes, "Good, that's why I was calling." And the guy hangs up. We need people like that in our lives. And let me be specific. Men, you need a good Christian man. Because I'm meeting with too many men in my office who met a good Christian woman. Right? To talk to. Men, you need a good Christian man. Ladies, you need a good Christian lady. I mean, we need people in our lives who are going to encourage us. And then to connect people to the Word of God. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't have any answers. But right here are the answers that you need. And I believe that. And I would say that even here tonight, me saying that is going to raise some skeptical eyebrows. Now, I'm getting ready to preach at a college here in a few weeks. And what do you think they're going to say when I say right here are the answers you need? Yeah, that's going to be rough. You know, that's going to be a little harder to pull off. But I'm going to tell you, I stand by this because this is God's word. He's given it to us. And if I'm going to cling to a wisdom, I want to cling to a wisdom that is beyond me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Has anybody, let me just ask, has anybody clung to your own wisdom? Anybody in here? Just 7 of us. Wow. Maybe the rest of you should be preaching tonight. Man, I've clung to my wisdom, right? I've done what I thought was right in my eyes time and time again. And every time, it's just led me into a hole. But God has given us His Word. We're going to be talking more about this in January. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Now, for some of you, that sounds so elementary, you wonder why you came tonight. Well, I know that. And for some of you, it sounds so archaic. You wonder how anybody can live their life by these words that I believe God had written and given to us to encourage us. But I promise you, I've never met anybody who followed what God said and then fell into a bunch of sin. Followed what God said. Now, there are seasons when we follow what God says. And sometimes they're followed by seasons where I decide to try to do things my way. And I want to encourage you tonight. The part of the vision here is to connect people to the Word of God. I don't know how many of you, maybe God's given you a gift of encouragement or a gift of counsel or a gift of wisdom. And you enjoy talking to people. I'm going to tell you, when you tell people what you think they ought to do, that should be a red flag unless it's connected to what God has said to do. Like I'm going to tell you this, every once in a while, because I'm a pastor here, they'll ask me to lead the marriage retreat. Now, if you know me very well, you'd laugh right now. If my wife was here, she'd be laughing. And I'm going to tell you, if I led that marriage retreat and said, "Now let me tell you what I do. My wife has pneumonia tonight." And that's always a difficult time in our marriage, because if I'm a bad patient, I am a worse doctor. It's bad. So the wisdom that's there about marriage can't come from me. It's got to come from God's Word. And I believe that. And it's like I want to say it as forcefully and as offensively as I can. That if you'll follow what God says, not what men say, but if you'll follow what God says, what He has written to us, the way that God has spoke to us. I have people tell me all the time, "I don't feel like God is speaking to me." And I'll ask them, "Are you reading your Bible?" And they'll say no. And I'll say, "That's why God's not speaking. You see, He has spoke." Oh, that was a great place for an amen or an applause or something. No, 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 no. You forget it. You blew it. But I'm going to tell you, God has spoke. And if you want to hear from God, get in His Word. Does that make sense? Get in His Word. Hey, that was better. Thank you. Thank you. And the H in C3HD is for healing. Let me tell you, we believe that this is a God who heals. We believe that He still heals people. sickness. Amen. Now, it is our experience that He actually heals all sickness. We don't always accept His healing as healing. Does everybody know what I mean by that? Because the ultimate healing is that we're with Him in heaven forever. But sometimes He heals in a way that gives more time for here. And we give Him the glory for that. I'm trying to learn how to give Him the glory for the other. Healing. Not just in a physical sense, but a spiritual healing. Man, some of you are here tonight and you have faced abuse like nobody could understand. We believe that the God I'm talking to you about tonight, He can heal those kind of things. Broken hearts, broken lives. This God is a healer. That's why we want to connect people to Jesus, because without Jesus, there is no healing. But Jesus does that. And so the H, we thought that part of this is so important that H is in the C3HD, that this is a God who heals and He is able to heal you. I want you to know that. And obviously I say that not knowing what everybody's going through or where everybody's at, but I promise you this, wherever you are, He can heal you. I promise you that. And the D, and this is the toughest part, this is the challenge for Hillview Heights Church. And that's development. That we not just continue to grow. Because I want you to know, and Steve said this Sunday, discipleship is not just how much you know about the Bible and how much you know about Jesus. It's about how you are living your life for His glory. It's great that you know a lot, but if there's no application in your life to what you know, then what good is it to know all those things if you're not going to live them? And I think that's our challenge. That's a challenge of our church. You know why it's a challenge here? Because it is easy to come here and not do a thing. And if you go to a church that's got 100 people, and I've served at a couple of those churches, you can't hang around that church very long. Because there's 100 people there, then I got time to know everybody that's there, and I've got time to say, hey, listen, you're not serving anywhere. We need to get you involved. It's our challenge because there are so many people that are here. That you could come here, I don't know, maybe years, and never be asked personally to serve in a ministry area. Never be invited personally to a Bible study. Now please hear me. Everybody look at me. I am not saying that that's a good thing. And that's probably a challenge for our pastoral staff to figure out how can every person that comes here, and we're talking 6,000 people a month, or what's here. That's not here every Sunday, but in a month's time, there's 6,000 people in this place. We've got to get better as a pastoral staff. How do we get to know those 6,000 people? And how do we get better at personally in inviting them? But now, don't look at me like that. You got to see some looks I'm getting. Some of you are like, that's exactly right. Because I feel that you are part of the answer to that question of how we get to know 6,000 people personally. That means you can't just come and sit on Sunday morning. That means a Sunday morning worship, Wednesday night worship, is not just for you to come and sit in a cushy chair, hear great worship, mediocre preaching, and then, that was a joke, obviously, and just to leave. But you know, it's just taking time to get to know people, because this is what Jesus said. Look with me at Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Listen, this is why this Jesus is so phenomenal. Jesus is letting the disciples know right here, He has dominion over all things. There is nothing in your life that He doesn't have dominion over. There's nothing here that is more powerful than Him. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We call this passage the Great Commission. This is what Jesus said. These are His parting words. The last thing that He says here on earth, He wants us to know He is worthy of our lives. The Bible says our lives don't belong to us anymore. If you are a believer in Jesus, your sin has been forgiven. The Bible says your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to Him. Because He died and He paid the price, right? Now, in this Great Commission, there is only one imperative that is in the Great Commission. What do you think it is? Now, let me clarify from the Greek and the English. In the Greek, as it was written by Matthew, there was one imperative in the Great Commission. What do you think it is? I hear go. How many of you think it's go? Raise your hand. That's a good one, right? Yeah, yeah. In the Greek, that go is actually as you go. And the only imperative is this. Make. See, I've envisioned this morning when I was preaching, I'd say make. And you all be like, disciples. But you didn't do that. So make disciples. That's how I envisioned it. That's how it'll be on the internet. Okay. Make disciples. Now listen, that is exciting. Only God can make a disciple. Can we all agree with that? Only God can make a disciple, but I promise you this, He uses you and me to help make that happen as we invest ourselves in other people's lives. How many of you became a disciple just on your own? Jesus just did it and beamed you to disciplehood. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's pretty good. How many of you had people that walked beside you? People that prayed for you? People that encouraged you? People that challenged you? That's discipleship. And I'm going to tell you, everybody, hear my heart. That's going to be one of the great challenges of this church. Is that we get beyond a level of entertain me to a level of I'm going to follow Jesus wherever He leads. That's going to be our challenge here. Part of it's a challenge. Let me say this. I don't know if this is too honest, but let me say this here. So many things that are done here. Now, this is my fourth church. I may have more credibility to say this than anybody. This is the fourth church I've been at. I've never been at a church that does things with such excellence. It's like, in my opinion, nothing's mediocre. I mean, everything. I mean, look at the screens. I mean, do you think I'm naturally that handsome? Thank you. That was my mother. You know, I mean, the worship is just always so powerful. It seems like the singers, the musicians we have, they are so talented. You know, the pastors on staff, you know, minus me, are so creative and just so capable. And it is easy in a place like this to be mesmerized with all that and think that something is happening when really nothing's happening at all. And we've got to be challenged to follow Jesus wherever He leads. The one imperative in the Great Commission is to make disciples. You know what's tough about making disciples? We live in a time and in a culture when people are more willing to give money for missions than to give their time to go. Do we need money to go?
Yeah.
A few spiritual people said no. I'd like to book a flight with you tomorrow to wherever we're headed. You got to have money, sure. But I promise you this. He's calling us to go. He is. It is so evident that He's calling us to go right here in Matthew 28 that go is not even the imperative. If it's not an imperative, what is it? It's an assumption that you are going. That if you're a believer in Jesus, you are going. You're doing that. As you go, do this, make disciples. And it's tough because making disciples takes time. It does take money. It takes all that. It's messy. You think about the worst time in your life when somebody was walking with you. Was it messy for them to walk with you? I need a little more response on that. Make sure we're all in this together. I'm telling you, it was messy. So much so that sometimes when I see some of those people, I still get embarrassed about the stupid things I did, the stupid things I said, but they never gave up. You know why? Because they were about making disciples. And here's the thing. If your life hasn't been about that, and maybe God would do something in your heart tonight to show you that this is what your life needs to be about, you're at a pretty incredible place to do that, because there's a lot of people here. Listen, we've baptized 5,000 people in the last 9 or 10 years. You know what that means? I mean, that's really exciting. Does anybody know what the challenge of that is? That means we're not a church full of spiritual giants. We're a church full of baby Christians who are just learning to walk, right? I mean, we like the idea that Paul gives, run the race, right? And we imagine this strong run, but most of us are at this stage. Right? We're learning to walk. We're learning to talk. And there's no shame in that. If you're here and you're a new Christian, there's no shame in that. That's part of the journey. It's the beginning part of the journey. But God has called us to make disciples. You know what C3HD is? It's about making disciples. Making disciples. Because you can really, really focus on evangelism, but you've got to know this about Matthew 28. It doesn't say make converts. It says make disciples. What's the difference? The difference is this. Making a convert is when somebody prays to receive Christ and you give them a high five and you leave. But making a disciple is when someone prays to receive Christ and we become a part of their life. And they become a part of our lives. Because I'm going to tell you this. I hope you didn't take it that I was saying flippantly, there's 6,000 people here and we can't get to know everybody. That breaks my heart. One of the things I try to do, like on Sunday morning especially, is I try to walk around and shake everybody's hand. And there's, you know, I've just met people and got to hear stories that I wouldn't have if I hadn't done that. Just to say, to see somebody I didn't know and to shake their hand and say, what's your name? How are you doing? And listen, you won't believe some of the stories you'll hear. Some people come here when they are clinging to the last inch of that rope and it's all about to fall apart. And you come up and say, what's your name? And they say, can you just hug me? Now, how do I know that? Not only have I experienced that with people, I've been there. I've been there when it seemed like it was all falling apart. This January, I pray that you really engage this January. And I pray, you know, even if you come faithfully on Sunday morning, that you'll come on Wednesday night. You'll hear a few different things. You'll get to see the videos again. That'll be good. But I pray that your heart will be challenged. That maybe you've been coming here for 10 years and you've never really engaged. You see, I think we should be at a place in our lives when we could ask each other, who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? I told Pastor Steve this last year, and I really believe this. And in the role that I am here, one of the greatest things that's on my heart is not really something I get to fully participate in right now. But I told Pastor Steve, this church alone has the people and the resources to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. This church alone could do that if that was our heartbeat. My prayer tonight is God would birth within each one of us a missionary heart, a heart that desires to take the gospel to the hard places, a heart that desires for God just to clean up the things in our lives that need to be cleaned up so that we can be the kind of people that can walk alongside of other people. That God would give us that heart. That God would break our hearts. God would remind us tonight of those people who faithfully walked beside us. God will use those memories to birth a desire for us to walk alongside of others. That's discipleship. Now listen, don't think discipleship is you've taken more Bible study classes than anybody else. That's not discipleship. Is that a bad thing? No. But don't think that's discipleship. Jesus told us what discipleship is right here. Discipleship is being made a disciple and making a disciple. We're going to have a time of altar. I want to invite you to come to the altar. I know this has been quick tonight, but I'm going to tell you, I hope you will join with me and pray that God would birth within each one of us a missionary's heart. That God would birth within each one of us a desire to know 6,000 people that are here every month. And God would make a way for us to get to know somebody we didn't know. God would make a way for us to meet somebody who just met Jesus and give us an opportunity to walk alongside of them in their life and theirs and ours. I want to invite you to the altar tonight. It's first Wednesday of 2010. And I want to invite you to the altar that maybe this will be the life-shaping thing of your 2010. Maybe this will be the thing that will be more different than anything for the rest of in all of the rest of your life up to this point. This will be the biggest change. This will be the thing that God does. And you won't believe the blessings that God rains down because of that kind of obedience and that kind of faithfulness. But we got to have a heart to do that. We got to have a desire to want to be used. We got to have a passion for those that don't know Jesus and a compassion for those that have just met Him. And a willingness to say, not only would I be willing to give, but I would be willing to go. I want to invite you to come to the altar. And let's just pray that together as we kind of our first altar of 2010. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the cross and the resurrection. And Lord, we thank you that you were a God who went. That you left the splendor of heaven, the majesty of a throne, and you came to earth. Born of a virgin, you lived a life, you were tortured, you died. Your Father brought you back to life so that our sin could be forgiven. Lord, birth within each one of us a missionary's heart. May we be willing to go to the hard places, do the hard things, be with the hard people. God, break our hearts because you have called us to go and to make disciples. May we be willing to be made a disciple and to make one. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. This altar is open. Let's stand together. I want to invite you to come. I won't hold the altar long, so you just come now.